President Brown, trustees, faculty, distinguished guests, and especially the members of this great and resilient class of 2022. It is a true privilege to be with you in person, not zoomed in, at my and now your alma mater. A joy to share in celebrating you and your accomplishments today. No doubt a huge sigh of relief. It's important to take a moment to pause, breathe in the significance of your achievements. Your effort, your persistence, your perseverance, and your scholarship, particularly the challenge that COVID has presented and you have surmounted. And to the graduates who are out there, it is time to acknowledge your support team, those who've helped you along this academic journey, loved ones, family and friends, professors and colleagues, who also deserve our collective gratitude. As of course this academic chapter ends, a new one unfolds, a life of purpose, however you may define it. Some graduates may be certain about their next chapter, and others are still exploring. I encourage all of you to be open to the possibilities, those sometimes serendipitous encounters that may open a door not previously contemplated, for life is not linear. 50 years ago this August, a skinny young woman from upstate New York entered Boston University, found her scholastic footing, and eventually flourished, pursuing, as you've heard, a degree in psychology and then immediately a master's in social work under the extraordinary Dean Hubie Jones. During those 6 years, lifelong friendships and professional connections were formed, and a career of social justice and public service cemented. While I didn't realize it at the time, my personal and professional safety net was being stitched together, not ashamed to seek out assistance. Later, when I had the opportunity to give back to the social work community as a teacher, as a professor, I reminded my students, as I remind all of you this morning, that seeking help is a sign of strength and not weakness. A reckoning that no one can forge their path successfully alone. As odd as it may sound to you, 50 years later, Boston University is still part of my safety net, particularly the social work school that embraced an alumna who became the first social worker to serve as Massachusetts Commissioner of Mental Health and now as its Secretary of Health and Human Services. And I want to assure all of you, behind all of those numbers of $26 billion, 22,000 public servants, 12 agencies, I never forget that there are lives and hopes and dreams of individuals, families, and communities. During the past 2 years, the School of Social Work reached out routinely with me to offer support after vitriolic verbal attacks and negative public comments were lobbed in reaction to decisions I made throughout the pandemic. Who knew that mask would become such a four-letter word, if you know what I mean? In March 2020, our collective and individual lives ground to a halt. No person unscathed, many devastated by the loss of loved ones or economic insecurity. All of us untethered by the disruption to our daily lives and rhythms, the isolation of a prolonged pandemic, the uncertainty of when this would ever end. As the person at the epicenter of this state's pandemic response, I am grateful to Boston University and President Brown for leadership and commitment to the health and safety not only of the university's community, but to the entire state. Very early on, in the earliest days, a small group of Massachusetts College and University presidents, including President Brown, gathered virtually to piece together the facts for one another in an ever-evolving global crisis and to join with the state to rapidly develop testing capacity and protocols, collaborate to ensure that our healthcare system stayed strong, and to engage in cohesive and coherent communication strategies. There are many lessons to be learned from what we have endured these past few years, and some yet to be discerned. There are four that are very present for me to share with you this morning. Not to worry, this is not my dissertation defense. If we understood that the world had become smaller due to international trade, tourism, immigration, this pandemic has made it viscerally clear that our globe is a very small place and that we collectively have a local and global responsibility for one another. If we understood that there are vast disparities and inequities in the world, the pandemic and murder of George Floyd and others laid bare the systemic effects of racism that permeate our own country and our nation's institutions. COVID has had a significant and profoundly disproportionate impact on our neighbors who are brown and black. If we understood that behavioral health has been the segregated and under-resourced segment of our U.S. healthcare system, this pandemic underscored that reality and the need for true parity of physical and behavioral health. We must lean in with individuals and families who are struggling with mental illness and addictions and not stand back. And if we acknowledge that competition fuels innovation and new technology, this pandemic fostered an uber collaboration across many fields that are generally competitors: biotech, life sciences, healthcare, academia. Two shining examples stand out. Effective and safe vaccines were developed in record time. And more locally, in a state where healthcare is a dominant and competitive industry, our hospitals rallied and for 2+ years acted as one system. As a result, unlike other parts of the United States, our healthcare system was sorely stretched but never overrun. If there is a silver lining to this pandemic, perhaps it serves as an inflection point that some of these lessons, ephemeral in the past, are galvanized into sustainable progress and lasting change. No doubt, the question on everyone's mind is, when does this end? It turns out defining the beginning of a pandemic is simpler than defining its end. We will not end COVID-19. It is a highly transmissible respiratory virus with very annoying mutants. It will continue to be present. We are all weary and over it, but COVID zero is not possible. We're transitioning to an endemic. With much more knowledge of the coronavirus now, and with the tools to manage COVID rather than COVID managing us. The science continues to evolve, our vaccine and therapeutics improving, and our testing and mitigation strategies have advanced light years since March of 2020. Of course, there's much work ahead, but there is hope. And the reality is that our lives are adjusting to this new normal. Look around. We are here together. And what you've been through the past 2+ years, certainly not the academic experience you envisioned, but clearly a formative one, to be here today proves our collective strength, grit, and resilience. Of course, graduates leave with a strong educational foundation on which to build their next chapter. But life is more than our degrees or our professional identity. It is a tapestry woven by human connection, friendship, community, family, and love. As the writer Anna Quinlan remarked, love is not leisure, it is work. So until we take our last breaths, we will always be imperfect works in progress, both personally and professionally. And finally, a word of advice. Today's technology and gadgets have transformed our seemingly insatiable quest for information on a 24/7 basis. You can Google almost anything, from an answer to a date, but you can't Google your values. That comes from the heart. So on occasion, unplug from the gadgets, make eye contact, have a conversation instead of a text, or just take a moment to pause. Congratulations, good luck, and take good care. It's a tremendous honor to be with you this morning.